As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have our full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
Welcome to the Elite Advisor Podcast. My name is Sten Morgan. Today, we're going to be hanging out with Dave Castro, entrepreneur, founder of Icebreaker, which is a great app for networking. But his superpower is networking. And I've learned from coaching a bunch of advisors, and this is true of my practice too, most financial advisors are not great networkers. We meet a lot of people. We maybe know a lot of people, but we don't manage that network well. Therefore, we don't get consistent referrals. And there's a lot of data that comes in that we forget about. So today we're going to be talking about strategies behind networking. Maybe it's EQ, maybe it's your energy you bring when you network. How do you overcome that fear? But also, if you are a good networker, how do you track that really well and make it a great asset for your company? So let's talk to Dave Castro. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here, Sten. It's great to meet you.
You too, man. Yeah, no, I've heard about you. We both live in Nashville. And I was excited for this talk because I've been told your superpower is networking. And that is not my superpower. And so I know for advisors, there's always the get with the centers of influence and network and build your network. And that could be a great way to build your business.
Yeah.
And I've coached thousands of advisors now. Very few know how to do it well.
Yep.
And it feels like a very reactionary thing that kind of works sometimes, but most of the time doesn't work. So I'm excited for you to coach us up.
Sten, the thing I love most about this conversation is that you're the first. I've talked to lots of financial planners and so forth, but you're the first guy that I've spoken with that I can actually reach. A bunch of financial planners with a particular burden that I have for them, because you know, in my last going on a couple decades of networking, I bumped into a lot of financial planners. Yeah. And it boggles my mind that, and I don't mean to ruffle feathers, but, I think it'll serve the listeners. Financial planners should be the best networkers in the market. And this is not hyperbole. They are the worst. They're among the worst of networking. And it's not Preach. Because they don't get out and they don't talk to people. Yeah. It's what I find is that they're missing some of the key things around, what could make their brand blow up and what can make everybody, referring them and all that. I mean, their brand really is around relationship. And so networking should be their superpower. But I found that a lot of financial planners, they never give you referrals. They never talk about you to other people, make introductions for you. There's a lot of just very simple things that a financial planner can do to make them head and shoulders above their peers and be remembered in the market, even as the financial planner guy, not the best, but hey, that guy, So I have a burden for that. I'd love to see that change because that is basically, they're not creating the financial plan for the most part. That's right. They're just meeting people. And this should be their superpower.
Yeah. No, bring the hard truth today. Cause I think it was, and part of it too, there's advisors probably listening that don't understand that they're not good at it because they're just doing what they were taught to do. And even though it's not getting great results, they just keep doing it.
Sure.
That I think the stat ranges anywhere from 70 to 80% of advisors don't make it past 3 or 5 years in the business. Mm-hmm. Yet we keep doing the same thing. And the same thing typically is, hey, I'm going to go out there and meet a bunch of people and just ask them for business. If I meet a CPA or an attorney, my script is, hey, my name's Sten. You don't really know me. I'm a financial advisor. Will you send your clients to me? I'm like, yeah, what? But I think it's also a miss to say, hey, my name is Sten. Can I take you to lunch? Take you to lunch? Take you to lunch? Take you to lunch? And it never turns into anything. And so
right.
I do think the networking model is broken in general in our industry.
Yeah.
And what's tough is sometimes it works kind of well enough. Like, hey, that person, finally, I got a piece of business out of that one group just because I've showed up for the last 3 years. And I'm like,
right. They didn't have an alternative.
Is really the close rate
the person
you want?
I remember.
Yeah.
It's like a numbers game, honestly. And there's something to it. I mean, obviously showing up is better than not showing up at all.
Sure.
But I feel like that is basically the box that I see checked by financial planners is I just show up. You know, I'm just going to keep showing up. I don't remember, you know, and the thing you hear a lot of people say is like, I'm not good at remembering names. Well, if you're not good at remembering names and all you do is show up, people will recognize you, but, you know, do they think that you're in their court if you never remember their name? Do they think, you know what I mean? Are you really building a relationship? There's a lot of things that, could be tweaked and financial planners could do differently that would make them effective, make all those coffees, all those lunches, all those showing up effective.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a few things in this business that have frustrated me and that I avoided for a while. One was communication skills, because I felt like, no, the smartest advisor should win. And I realized, well, nobody knows if you're that good or even knows about you if you're not a good communicator. Like the most inspiring, friendly advisor most likely will beat the smartest one that doesn't know how to speak to somebody. And I was like, okay, I'll accept that. So I want to become a better communicator. The other one was, man, I just have some buddies that, you know, they're great at just networking. Like people want to be around them. They're the life of the party. You know, every time Susan shows up, people are like, Susan, I'm not that guy. Like I've tried to get better at it, but like the way the Lord made me, like I'm not the fist bump, high five. And when I walk into
a
room, and I'm like, dang, cause it just seems easy for them.
Yeah.
I finally have gotten pushed to like, man, how many people have I run into over the last 10, 15 years of being in Nashville that I had great interactions with that I didn't follow up with, that I didn't track them and make any notes on? Like, what a missed opportunity as so much time has gone by to lose all that data.
Right.
And so now my executive assistant, part of her role for me is helping me manage my network. It's like, not in a selfish way. I'm not just wanting to use these people for business. It's like, no, I actually care about that person. But if I get swept up in the busyness of life again, 2 years are going to pass before I'm like, hey, Dave, how you been? And if the only time I call Dave back is when I'm like, hey, Dave, I need something.
Right.
That doesn't feel good either. And so I think the superpower of managing a network well, I think I'm learning it doesn't have to be like a natural thing for me, but it does have to require like some level of intention to do it.
For sure. You have to believe in it. And again, I think, you know, if you're not getting results and it just becomes a check of the box, you're not going to really want to spend a lot of time thinking about it or doing something about it. And, you know, the follow-up thing is so critical. Like I've had a relationship that I've been building, you know, with someone who high net worth, you know, large potential, either as an investor or as a, you know, massive kind of client base type thing. And it literally is just, you know, you do what you review, right? So if you want business, if you recognize your business comes through relationships, opportunities come through relationships, you need to be looking at the people, reviewing, like, when's the last time I connected with them? You know, who are my top people that I think that are in my network that I know? So you have to know them first, right? It has to be more than just spraying and praying. Like, I don't remember his name, but he's a phone number and a warm body. So I'm going to call him or I'm going to ask him to coffee. So, you know, that, like you said, you know, that managing of the connections and managing the follow-up is critical. And then when you're doing that, through the authentic you. Like you, again, you know, the concept of who are the type of people that you want to work with? Who are the type of people that you like? You know, and people that you like usually like you, right? You know, you don't want to go work with somebody who doesn't like you. You know?
Yeah.
So, but you know, having that authentic vibe, being okay with being who you are, you know, is a critical component of being the beacon, because that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be the most you as possible, and in doing so, you're going to resonate with the people who like the you that God made you to be, the you He intended to be in the world at this time, at this place, in this space, in this meeting, be that beacon. Be comfortable not being like, hey, what up? Be comfortable just being like somebody who's curious and likes people and likes what you do, believes what you do, and wants to serve people. And people get that, and they will buy from you.
Yeah, I think the energy. I mean, I like to say I'd like to go back in time when I was a young advisor in my 20s, new to Nashville, and I wasn't bringing the nervous sales energy to every interaction because inside I was desperate for business. And I was like,
sure.
I need a person to do business with me. So I need them to like me. And then over time you become successful and you're like, I'm not desperate anymore. And then you have like this calm confidence that people like and they want to be around. What is your coaching on people when they network? Is there a way to fast track that? I mean, obviously over time it maybe comes naturally, but
yeah.
How would somebody in their 20s be a great networker? Yeah,
I have so many thoughts on this. And thank God for my kids, because you learn so much by processing what you've learned when you watch your kids going through the same thing that you did and then telling them what you wish you'd heard or telling the lessons you learned, but you haven't remembered. Like you learned it. But you haven't processed it. And so you process it as you tell your kids. But yeah. I had a couple of thoughts on what one is you're essentially one thing I've said lately is people just are not judged enough. Like we if you are concerned about what other people think, you haven't been judged enough. You literally haven't been, the calluses just haven't come yet. You need to be judged more. You need to lean into it. When I say lean into it, I don't mean to go try to get judged, but like realize that that's medicine, you know, strong medicine, but it's medicine. So, in my history, I've had lots of judgment and I didn't like it. And sure. On the other side of it, I'm like, that's the best thing that happened to me. It really was. It's phenomenal.
Was it feedback, judgment?
The judgment, feedback.
Yeah. Would you say those are the same thing or?
Sure. You know, feedback is one. Another one is just,
harsh feedback, like judgment, like people.
Harsh feedback or just straight up, at our age, you kind of start having this sense of a group or people who tend to gossip and you kind of get a feel for that and then you kind of avoid them.
That's fair.
But sometimes you can't avoid it and you know that there's something that gossip or judgment or whatever and it just and you just see like there's people that I was great friends with that they won't grab coffee with me anymore or whatever. I'm a pretty good guy. Yeah. It is what it is. It's like, I can't chase them. It's fine. I go where I'm, as a friend says, go where you're celebrated, not where you're,
That's good.
That's kind of what I was thinking in terms of judgment. But yeah, the feedback thing is part of it too. The other part of the authenticity thing and just accepting it is, I use this illustration with my kids. They're in school and middle school, and there's always that, the homecoming queen type, homecoming king type flavor kids in the school. Sure. And then they're comparing themselves. Everybody's comparing themselves with whoever they think is the tops. And so whether you're looked sideways at, or whether you feel it internally, you kind of compare yourself and you're a little bit off. And this, we're talking about that confidence in a room or just being authentic. And I've grown. I wouldn't say that I'm like Superman on this now, but I've definitely grown in this. But illustration is great. Is thinking about. I tell my kids, I say, be the tree. If you think about it, you've got trees probably in your yard that you never think about. You never look at. You don't have an opinion on them. They just do what they do. You may not even know what kind of tree they are. Same in front of your house, on the street, at your work, on the street. It could look weird, ugly. It could be going sideways because it's got to get through this like wire, this fence. You don't think about it.
Yeah.
God gave that thing space and time, and it's just doing whatever it needs to do. It's going to take all that it needs to do it, to do the thing. It's already got all the permission that it needs to be a tree, to be the thing that God made it. And it's the same with us. Like, yeah. We've already been given all the permission that we need to take up our space, to grow the way that we, you know, need to grow because of the things that are going on in our world or our life, whatever. We don't need to get permission from anybody else or approval or any of that stuff. So I just, that's, seems to help my kids. And it helps me to think about that as a just accepting that my time in life, the particular, you know, nutrition or, you know, the assets, the things that God's given me, I'm just going to do the best I can with it. It's, you know, play the card hand that I've got.
Yeah. I'm curious how it's progressed for you. For me, I've just increased my awareness that, like, before I go into a room, because it's not, I found like I'm somewhat introverted. Like, I recharge not around a bunch of people, but I enjoy being around people.
Yeah.
I am on a lot of things with a lot of people. But I do have to hear the part inside of me before I do that. I have to recognize the hesitation or the resistance, and I have to overcome it. And I have to choose to be like, no, I'm going to show up now, as opposed to let the resistance or fear kind of win this opportunity. Do you feel like that's eventually where people need to get to, where it's like, it's never going to be, you're never going to be a different person. Like, you're never going to be an introverted person that all of a sudden is charged up by going out and being downtown all the time.
Right.
Is it just learning to override that resistance better?
I think so. I definitely think there's the exposure therapy type of aspect to it, where you are telling yourself truth, right? Your body is trying to protect you because there's, you know, there's something that's maybe dangerous in a way to your brain or to your whatever it is, right? So there's something your body's trying to protect you. That anxiety is your body trying to protect you. And you just tell your body the truth that, hey, I'm just here to serve. I have something to give. I am sufficient in you know, my strengths and my weaknesses. Like, the whole balance of it is sufficient. And it's not going to make or break me, not going to make or break this day, whatever it is. Yeah. So, but yeah, some exposure therapy, I think, you know, once you tell yourself the truth and experience it enough, it becomes, something that, you can be legitimately good at or sufficient at. And you see that with speakers, all the time. I don't know whether I should call out names, but, they've said it from the stage, but they may even have a little bit of kind of nerviness on the stage as they're talking, but sure, they're a lot better than they were the first time they spoke. Now they're keynoting like thousands of people.
Yep.
Nobody cares if they're a little bit nervy. You know, they're here to serve, and they do, and they're doing the best they can. So I think when you show up like that and you just tell yourself a different story, a different truth, you start believing it.
That's great. So let's get into kind of practical. If we start coaching advisors on that are listening to this episode on some of the basics of networking, why it's important, how to do it well versus not doing it well. And then let's get to, I'd love to learn about your company and the tool, like how that helped. But yeah, if somebody was becoming a better networker tomorrow, what does that start looking like?
Yes. So, you know, effectively understanding your offer and how that is a story of how a customer moved from point A to a better life, like having a very clear story with that. So I, you know, for effective networking, I think of it as a Venn diagram of like four different circles. So if I can remember on the fly here, your offer, your best contact profile, your effective activities, and the you circle. We've talked a lot at the moment, you know, up to now about the you circle, who you are, who you bring. You're the vessel for all this goodness you're bringing to the world, right? Your offer, the activity, you're the vessel. So that's the most important circle. But the other circles would be that offer, right, which is the story of transformation that you're bringing for your customer. And ideally, it doesn't have to be, you know, sparklers and fireworks different from a competitor.
Sure.
It can't even be the same. You know, what could be different is the fact that you're nearer, you have a better relationship with them. That's all that's needed. Who do they want in their life? Right. So if I have certain vendors, you know, who do I want in my mix? It's going to be the person I like if they do a sufficient job. So it doesn't have to be sparkles and fireworks different from the other person. But so your offer, you know, understanding, you know, where you are, what your unique offer is. And again, people can smell through fake stuff. So you can be very blunt, which is, we're very much like XYZ. And, but here I am, and you don't even know who your advisor is, but you know who I am, right? You trust me. So, and then effective activities. So the things like we're talking about, like showing up, the remembering, you know, where do these people go? What events do they go to? What kind of niche am I going for? Like, what's, everybody needs a financial advisor. Some people, are, country club, you know, Lamborghini, Pagani, you know, et cetera, cigars, watches. Other people are middle class. Who is your people? And then kind of be thinking about that. So what activities are going to get me in front of those people? Yep. And then the other one, we already talked about the U-circle a little bit, is the action. You know, what can we do to make sure that we are actually capitalizing on the efforts that we're doing. So, and within that action, things that are very simple but powerful are remembering people's names. Because if you're that guy who's checking that box faithfully, you know, well done. Keep checking that box, showing up, but remember people's names. And then the next time you show up at a different event and they're there, you showed up, he's going to notice that. If he's got a relationship, if he doesn't have a relationship, you're just going to be that guy. You're just going to be that financial planner. But if you come over and say hi and you remember his name and, you know, you can ask, if you can be curious, then, that starts to create momentum in all these relationships that you're touching. And that momentum, you know, turns into outcomes and business.
So one thing we coach on, something I've tried to, like, what I call is what do you do answer. So if you're ever networking, obviously someone's going to say, what do you do?
Yeah.
And I think early on I was like, you just need to have a good answer. And I was like, okay, I think I need to try to build like a framework that's repeatable for advisors. And so here's how we go about it. I'd love your feedback on it. Is number one, you're really specific about who you help. And it's not, hey, I help people with money. You might say, I help business owners. I help retirees. Be as specific as you can with the group you work with. It's going to qualify people, but also disqualify people. You then say how you help those people. So I work with business owners and I help them pay less tax. And then you say, like, to what degree have you helped them? So for example, I worked with a business owner last week. We taught them how to pay their kids. They had to pay no tax on the income. It saved them about $13,000. Over the next 10 years, that strategy is going to save them around 130 grand. Like, if you can do that and tell a story they can put themselves into.
Yeah.
Like, hey, now you have my attention. As opposed to, my name is Sten, I'm a financial planner, I'd love to meet with you. It's like,
yeah. The story of transformation is the most important thing. That's what people are looking for, is the outcome. So if you can start with that, you know, I just, you know, helps save some. You could couch all that in a story. I just helped a business owner save $13,000 in taxes. And that's what I love doing, that kind of stuff. That's really intriguing. I'm going to ask more. I'm not in that, right? I'm not even, people who aren't even potential business, you know, customers are going to ask for more on that story.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for you, and we're all business owners listening, trying to put yourself, like, what would it take for somebody to get your attention? Because you're also thinking about your kids going to soccer practice. Who is dinner made? Like, I think there's so much competing for our attention. From a networking connection standpoint, what does it take to all of a sudden make it into somebody's top three list of things they should do in the near future, which is hopefully come meet with you? I think that requires more than a vanilla intro.
Sure. I think that story of transformation, and then maybe some social proof, like, if you, again, this, and which also communicates that you're in the community, you're a people person. Financial planners are like, you know, you're touching some very sensitive stuff, you know? my money, you know, my future. So being somebody who is thought of as a community person who is known by a lot of people, aka invited to these things, not kicked out, trusted. So but I think having that that story of transformation, but also having that that sense of lost my train of thought there, but the that sense of trustworthiness around what you're doing means that you can drop some names that this person might know. Right. So you got a story of transformation. You've got social proof because you're at these events or you are working with, and you can't say people's names who you're working with, I guess, but you could say I'm working with some people that you can kind of hint at it.
Yeah, I think there's a way.
But I think, yeah, I'm sure you know better than I do, but that's powerful, right? It's you. If you come in, you drop in from who knows where, from California or Washington State, and you want to start working with my money, I want to know who around me you're already working with.
Yeah, that's fair. So tell me about your tool. Like, let's get into that company and how that's an extension of what you're working on.
Yeah. So I want to point out something here.
Sure.
It's very similar to like a normal networking conversation. Mm-hmm. And that is you want to first, well, maybe it's not completely similar, but you just asked about what do I do, but we've spent a lot of time talking about, you know, some other things. And I think that one thing that is really valuable and powerful that I want to make sure that I share here is what I call popping the clutch, which is if you've used stick shift, your dad, you know, some people in your life who are older than you have used stick shift before. Yeah. If the battery dies, you can still turn that car on and get it to drive through what's called popping the clutch. And the way you do that, and I had to do that because I had a car who the battery was dying all the time when I was in college. I needed to get to work. You start rolling that car and you have the key in the ignition, but you got to get the thing rolling first. You got to get some momentum. And then, you know, you push the clutch in, push the gas in, and then let the clutch. So pop the clutch and the car will go. And I think in conversations that are networking, I found it super powerful to be, again, relaxed, be your authentic self, but be curious and be asking them questions and then allow them to ask you at the end. Once you have communicated that you care about them, then they ask you what you do. And it's much more easy to have an impact, an impactful conversation about your business when they have asked you, when they're genuinely curious after you've served them. So I just wanted to mention that.
I learned how to drive a stick in the hills in Eugene, Oregon. It was brutal, but
yeah.
Eventually
got Yeah. hills and stick are really scary for sure.
Yeah.
I've never backed into somebody. Have you? I was close.
I've gone
times.
Close. There's been some times where I'm like, yep, no, I must've hit him, but hit it hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So Icebreaker is a mobile app, and it's essentially built for people like us who are out networking and looking to connect and follow up with people. And it's built specifically with the understanding in mind that you only have a certain amount of time and energy to get to as many people in the room as possible before you wear out and you can't go and start another conversation, or whether time ends or the people that you're trying to talk to leave, right? So you have a certain amount of time with the people in that room. Who in that room is an ideal connection for you? Now, maybe for some financial planners, probably the youngest ones, they look at the whole room and think everybody's a potential customer. The truth is that not everybody in that room is your ideal customer. So you want to find who those ideal people are and spend your time first or priority meeting them. So what Icebreaker allows you to do as when the host, recommends that everybody use it. At some point, the idea is that everybody's going to have Icebreaker on their phone. But until then, the host would say, hey, we're using Icebreaker. And everybody in that room would, if they have the app on, other people that have the app on, they would all drop on the discovery screen. and there would be notification when you're signing on. It asks you who your ideal connection is by way of keywords. Like, how would you give me a couple keywords that would describe your ideal person? So business owner, CEO, maybe that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then when you're in the room, anybody who has the icebreaker on the app on within eyeball distance, can have the screen off and in their pocket, but if they have the app on, if they are an ideal connection, it'll notify you. So everybody in the room will be able to see who was in the room on their discovery screen just by nature of having the app on. It uses Bluetooth, but it also buzz if your ideal person's there. So you look at it and you can see, it'll highlight who those keywords are. So like, oh, CEO 1, 2, and 3. Okay. That type of thing is the concept. So, and then it has a digital business card and a relationship, like a light relationship management thing, which I use actually with my pipeline. So in terms of managing follow-ups and that type of thing. Yeah.
So for somebody listening that I would say from a scale of 1 to 10 on networking, I'm a 1, I'm a 2. Like, I do it when it finds me and bumps into me, but I have no intention around it, not incorporating into my business. What is kind of bare minimum networking skill that you would say every financial advisor, who I would agree most of us are not good at this, aren't intentional about it. Someday I want this to be a superpower. I want to have the icebreaker app. I want to walk into a room confidently, add a bunch of value, be strategic about who I'm finding. That's the dream. What's kind of like the baby step in that direction?
Baby step number one, I think, for networking, and to be honest with you, in all of life, so this goes even beyond this conversation, is curiosity. When you're curious about the other person, they feel that you are valuing them, and you are. When you're curious about somebody, you're communicating it has value. So, also when you're curious, you can't be thinking about your nerves. Yeah, your nerves kind of go away when you're curious about somebody. Your judgmentalness goes away when you're curious. And actually, there was a episode on Ted Lasso that actually refers to this. I won't go through the scene, but he talks about a quote on the school wall that says, "Be curious, not judgmental." And it's true. When you're curious about somebody, you know, maybe it's more like, why would they do that? Why did they do that? Why'd you think that, you know, versus like just wanting to punish them. Yeah. But so curious to be the first one. And then from there, it's how can I help them? Which is the whole goal of the curiosity. And in that, how you can help them, that I think, to be honest, I should have said this in the very beginning of this conversation, but that is the thing that's most missing from financial planners. From what I see, is how can I help this other person? Not by getting their money and managing it, but by who are they looking for? I don't necessarily think that everybody shows up to a networking event looking for a financial planner. I know that happens at times, but they're looking for a buyer for their business. They're looking for a marketing, you know, hire. They're looking for whatever it is. If financial planners could recognize that the givers get, and I'm talking to someone who has their own sets of needs and checkboxes they're looking for, how can I help them find those people, check those boxes in their life, right, of the other people that they're looking for? If I can help them find that, then I'll have paid it forward. The givers get, you know, I've sown into the relationship. It's much more powerful than just a friendly hi and handshake and let me tell you what I do. You know, it's much more powerful than your sales pitch.
Yeah, that's right. Good. All right. What would you leave the advisors with? Kind of how would you challenge? What would you want to say to our industry? I know it's like, we got to get better at it. I think there is an element of advisors are trained to ask for stuff first, you know, without really understanding what does it take. The idea of reciprocity, it's like, if I can help you, there's probably some momentum for that to come back in a way. But what's like the today challenge?
Today challenge.
Is there an element of like, how do you track your network?
I think it depends. I'm trying to think of like how often I get reached out to by financial planners, and it really is not enough. There needs to be a lot more touches, and maybe just I'm not a good, you know, target. So it's just fair and fine. But yeah, so definitely the outreach, the you do what you review, the constant touch of relationships or people that are in your network that you want to stay on top of and just be in it for the long haul. It's going to take a while, you know, especially with the financial planning sales cycle. The curiosity thing, I think, is the most important. And then combined with those things, the thing I see least about financial planners is their job is to know everybody in the city. I don't think they do.
Yeah.
Some do more than others. But as a result, if they were to be good at knowing everybody who's in the city, they would be good, if they thought about it, they would be good at helping other people to make connections that they need. You don't have to make everybody, if you don't like somebody or you don't think they would make your brand look good by introducing them to somebody, fine. But you got to introduce, that should be something that is a common, a common practice, which for some reason I'd love to see more. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not something I see. I don't think it's talked about a lot. For me, I think where I've been challenged is like the process of networking as far as like logistically, like when I meet with somebody, am I following up with them? Is it on my agenda with my assistant once a week to look at my calendar for the week and say, who did I interact with this week that I want to have more intention around? Am I keeping notes about them? And I think what held me back was capacity. And the book, Who Not How, I think a lot of times it comes down to that. Like if I want to do something really well, I probably can't do it by myself. And so that means I have to have somebody on my team. That's part of their responsibility. I think your app, we should use technology to make our lives easier. That if, as you listen to this as an advisor, if you could honestly assess and say, I have no business plan or intention around networking, I just get out there and bump into people and hope it works out. I think that's where I have been challenged, and I would challenge everybody listening to say, that's probably not good enough.
Yeah. And I think most of us as customers don't think that the person that we're talking to is actually doing the financial plan. We all kind of believe that that person is the relationship builder, the front door to the guys in the back who are making the decisions on, you know, the Roths and all that stuff. But if your notebook could be full of David Castro, here's what his goals are for this year. Here's the type of people he's trying to meet and those type of things. That would be step one. Step two is keeping that in mind and reviewing that. And then, you know, being able to, in a meeting with somebody, be like, oh, you know what? I should make this connection. You start doing that with the market, like here in Nashville, you start doing that with the market, you're going to kill it. I mean, you're going to crush.
I agree. All right, brother. I appreciate you being here. Thanks for the challenge.
Hey.
And for everybody listening, like, let's level up our marketing and networking skills for sure.